So we started a new sermon series last week looking at the Epistle of James and thinking about what it says to us about our Christian life and how it should be lived out. And I love the book of James, written by Jesus' little brother. It's full of practical advice on living the Christian life. It's a how-to book on Christian living. It's a challenge. Loads of challenges in its pages. It's a call to commitment to be not just hearers of the word, but also doers of the word. We talked about the hope that we have in the midst of trials last week. The hope that we have. And today we're thinking about what we do as a result of that hope and as a result of that faith in Jesus Christ. As I say, I love the book of James, but not everybody else in history did. Here on the screen is the lovely Martin Luther. He called the book of James an epistle of straw, not worth the paper it's written on. In fact, he had a bit of a campaign for it to be removed from the New Testament. It annoyed him so much. And it was on the basis of the passage we're looking at today. Martin Luther's problem was the question of what saves us. Is faith the most important thing? Or is it words and deeds, as he thought James suggests in our passage today? Luther thought that James, the brother of Jesus, was demeaning the sacrificial offering of Jesus on the cross. Luther was a big fan of St. Paul, especially Ephesians 2 verse 8, where Paul says, "It's by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." So a bit of theological controversy. Let's look together at what James says in the passage we're looking at from James chapter 2. And it will appear as if by technological magic, Wi-Fi allowing, on the screen. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodgings to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, and so faith without deeds is dead. So according to James, true faith is more than what we say. James tells those who are reading his words that a Jesus-shaped faith is one that is lived out in deeds, in actions, in words. In my previous 2 months, we lived pretty much next door to the church, or very much on the same street. So we would get callers all the time asking for help. People with real social and practical needs. So what should I be doing in that scenario? James poses such a question. Suppose one of your brothers or sisters are in need and you do nothing practically. I remember a gentleman coming to the door on Christmas Eve. And he was different from many of the other people that came with a sob story. He was literally broken and had the choice as to whether to put money on his electric card or provide a Christmas dinner for his children the next day. And he couldn't do both. And this was a man who'd worked all his life, but had come on hard times. So what do I say? I'm going to pray for you. Go in peace. Merry Christmas. Well, of course I didn't do that. And of course I do believe in prayer. And we all can say situations where God has been faithful with provision right at the moment, right at the right time. But when you have somebody before you in genuine need, what do you do? James says, a faith that talks about the goodness of God and then does not demonstrate it is just lip service. It's not transformed lifestyle. We can say the right thing, but unless there's evidence that what we say changes how we act, then James says that's empty, dead faith. So true faith is more than what we say, more than what we believe. Now, this is where it gets challenging. James 2:19 says this, you believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. I think James is saying that believing the right thing, although good, isn't always enough either, which kind of goes against everything that we know and say in the church. He says that even demons believe in God as we do. So if it's not about theology, what is James talking about? Well, let me tell you a little story. This gentleman picture on the screen is Bill Hillman. I read about his story this week. He's an American journalist. And believe it or not, he is an expert on the bull run in Pamplona in Spain. I've probably said that wrong. You know, the place where the bulls run through the enclosed streets of the town and people who should know better risk their lives and hope to come out unscathed. Wonder what their risk assessment would say. Well, this chap, Bill, is a bit of an expert in bull running. Even enough of an expert to co-author a book called How to Survive the Bulls of Pamplona. Wow. All that knowledge, all that information, all that belief did Bill no good one day bull running when a bull named Brevito gored him in the right thigh. Sorry, I'm not laughing at the fact he was gored. Sorry. He survived, but only just. And his co-author said this: "We will probably need to update the book now." You can say the right things. You can know the right things. But it's not going to stop you being gored by a bull if you don't put them into practice. And James then goes on to share the example of two people who did that, who lived out faith in action: Abraham and Rahab. Abraham, who the Bible says in Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. James said that Abraham's faith worked itself out by action. Perhaps you remember the story. Abraham's willingness to offer his son Isaac on the altar. It's a story of faith and trust in God. And Rahab. Well, Rahab's story, she's not a quite as respectable a faith figure than Abraham. But she defended God's people against her own people. And James says she showed faith in action. Faith lived out. Faith and action go together, says James. And he goes even further. He says this in verse 24: "You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone." And you'll see from the box on the screen that that's quite opposite, perhaps, to what Paul says in Romans 3, verse 28, that a person is justified by faith and not by works of the law. So this is what Luther got his knickers in a twist about. Which one is right? Well, both, I think. Paul says we're saved by faith in Jesus. And hopefully we would all agree that we have been bought by grace, by Jesus on the cross, by him dying and rising, by beating death, by taking our sins on his shoulders and helping us to be in a relationship with God the Father. That's what brings us salvation faith. And it's a gift. And it's a gift of grace. It's not something we have earned or worked towards. It is the good news, a free gift. So Paul is right, and so is Luther. But James says the sign of that new faith is lives that are changed by Jesus. In faith lived out. He's kind of suggesting that if nothing changes in our lives after we become Christians, then there's a problem. A German theologian hundreds of years ago said much the same thing when he said, "We're saved by faith alone, but not by a faith that remains alone." And we know that, don't we? We know that there is more to this Christian faith than what we do on a Sunday. We are whole life disciples. The we, who we are in the push and shove of real life, with a faith in Jesus that makes sense in the midst of pain and relationships and problems. That our faith in those circumstances should bring clarity and transformation. Our faith is about relationship with Jesus that transforms us. And James is saying that that transformation is worked out in action. If you're a Christian, but you've not been letting God's grace transform you and drive you every day, Well, today's an opportunity to draw a line and an opportunity to recommit our lives to Jesus and ask for him to be in the driving seat. Ask for him to empower us through his Holy Spirit to be the disciples that he would have us be. We all know that there is so much in our world that needs the light of Christ shining in it. So many places where the hands and the feet of Jesus and the justice of Jesus needs to be felt. And James is challenging the disciples to do that, to be Christ where they are. And that will look different for every one of us. Gandhi said, "Be the change you want to see in the world." I love that. Be the change you want to see in the world. I think we're all called to be the sort of Christians that don't just say something, but live something, that live the change that Jesus has had in our lives. A faith that's not just in our heads, but in our hands and our feet, in our hearts too. Faith that makes a difference. I wonder if I asked you, what do you see that breaks God's heart today? I wonder what you would say. What do you see that breaks God's heart? Because the answer informs our action. If you've thought of something, then go and do something about it. Go in the name of Christ and bring hope and make a difference in Christ's name. This week, I was completely transfixed at the US presidential inauguration by the words of Amanda Gorman, the inaugural poet. There is always light, if only we are brave enough to see it. If only we are brave enough to be it. May we be that Christ-inspired light with our actions, our words, our service, our work for justice, our volunteering, our spending, our voting, our letter writing, our giving, our campaigning, or whatever. Our calling is to be Christ's light and show that so his love is known. What do you see that breaks God's heart? Go do something about it. And may God bless and inspire you as you do that. Amen.